finger on exactly what they were talking about. No doubt it was brilliant, and they said it so well. But as for what the message was, it's what my friend Brad, long before the days of text messaging abbreviations called HTBT, had to be there. Sometimes I feel that way about some of our readings from Paul's letters, like today's passage from the 6th chapter of Romans. It's brilliant, just brilliant. But Kath, what did he say? Well, it was brilliant, but maybe HTBT had to be there. Maybe it's Paul's complex rhetorical style, or maybe it's that his message is just so alien to our Western, particularly U.S. Western view of autonomy and self-determination and rugged individualism, that perennial mistaken notion that we, in fact, are absolute masters of our own destiny. See, what Paul's saying is that you can't have it your way, as the old Burger King ad had. It's a lie. And it's a lie not because it's somehow wrong or immoral or something like that. It's a lie because it just won't work. We actually all know this, but something keeps us from recognizing it. We already know you can't always get what you want. You can't always do what you like. When I was a very small child, I thought being a grown-up would mean I never again had to do anything I didn't feel like doing. Yeah, go ahead and laugh. We know we tell small children to brush their teeth every day so they stay healthy, because kids would really rather not brush, but it's important. Some of us know we can't eat or drink certain things, or certain quantities of those things, pleasant as they may be, because they cause problems for us, whether it's an addiction, an allergy, or an intolerance. What we want and what's good for us just aren't the same. We also know that sometimes we can't just do or say whatever we want or whatever's easiest, because there are consequences to actions. Telling off your boss might find you unemployed. Fail to make time for your friends and they'll kind of drift away. Focus on our own wants and needs over a spouse or partner, and you might end up in divorce court. Ignore your kids, and they will ignore you. And failing to explore and use the unique gifts we have leaves us incomplete, alienated from our own soul. I'm not at all a fan of the kind of Christianity which claims that God has a detailed plan for each of us that we must follow. Sounds to me kind of like a mother who introduced her infant twins as, "Here are my boys. This one's the lawyer and this one's the doctor." I do feel that God delights in the gifts he's given us, and even more in our exploration and enjoyment of those gifts. And, unfashionable word warning, I believe that God delights in our submission to the discipline to do well with our gifts. Not because it's somehow self-abasing or that we need humbling, or because it's obedient. God is God and just as easily could compel obedience, but doesn't. Now, I believe God delights in our righteousness, our submission to discipline, our obedience in patterning our lives after that of Jesus. In the same way that my sister and brother-in-law and I and all the other relatives delight in the kind of young men my 20-something-year-old nephews are becoming. Themselves more fully, the people God created them to be, and more fully open to others they encounter. In the letter to the Romans, Paul makes his argument in the rhetorical language that would make sense to his listeners, Gentiles and Jews in Rome. Now, Rome was, at the time, the biggest, baddest city in the world. People were commodities, and anything could be had for a price. Any accusation of exploitation or human trafficking would have been greeted with astonishment. Well, we've always done it this way. And Paul asks them in this context, when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. So what advantage did you then get from the things of which you are now ashamed? The end of those things is death. saying, so how's that living for yourself and your wants and your needs exclusively working for you? Not so good, thought not. The freedom which Paul claims is found by becoming a slave to the teaching entrusted to them. Slaves of righteousness. It's like the idea of freedom in modern art, visual art or musical art. Most of the greats in modern art first perfected their discipline. They learned from the very best draftspeople or musical theorists or whatever. An example, Pablo Picasso could make perfectly good life drawings of people without their eyes sideways or their noses or exaggerated features in unlikely colors. It was only after mastering the disciplines of the craft that artists are free to break the rules. It's only after having appropriated and absorbed the rules completely. It's really the same kind of thing with Paul himself, or even Jesus. By knowing fully and in depth the tradition, the prophecy, the character of the God they served, they were able to take religious practice in a new, or maybe it's a very old direction. It's only as slaves of obedience, slaves of righteousness, like a slave exercising no choice.